that we don't always understand is when the judges go back for that hearing. I know that the attorneys, when we hear that a judge might be in trouble because some kook or kooks are going to show up to testify against him or her, we all try to rally and present the other side, the accurate side of the case. But I know recently when Judge Goodsite went up for her renomination, nobody thought that she would have any problems. And so we never thought to have attorneys go down to support her. And in fact, she did have. And one of the things that troubles me greatly is in many of the counties, they will not allow a judge who's going up for tenure to sit in the family part because they're afraid that there will be more and more kooks that go in to testify against the judge in family part. And maybe if they take them out of the family division for a while and put them in another division, people will forget about it. That's tragic.
Well, I have to say that one of the things I want to emphasize is that there are three senators that represent Huntington County, Senator Doherty, Senator Turner, and Senator Bateman. And you really should, the listeners really should call the senator or email the senator to say, look, we need to have a functioning judiciary. We need to have these renominations done. We need to have the Senate to hold hearings. And the hearing should be not just for the governor's nominee, Judge Bateman, Judge Bauman, I should say, but also for all the renominations who I hope will be renominated by the governor sometime before the end of this month.
Well, but let me ask you, if he does not renominate, is there anything the Senate can do?
Well, there are lots of things the Senate can do. Whether any of them are effective or not, I don't know. I mean, certainly there is a possibility of impeachment, but there has to be some sort of the Constitution requires a misdemeanor, whatever that may mean. I'm not sure what that may mean because we don't, as you know, in the criminal statute, we don't have any misdemeanors anymore. There's
right.
Degrees of crime, first, second, third, and fourth.
Well, I guess the bottom line is let's stop playing politics with our judges.
Absolutely.
And, I don't disagree that the nominee for the Supreme Court should get a hearing. However, I think it's much more important that our 23 judges get renominated and get a hearing. Obviously, if one or two are not going to be reappointed after the hearing, that's another story. But these judges really need a hearing, and it's so different than what's happening with the Supreme Court because Judge Bauman is a judge. He's sitting in the Superior Court, and he has a job. And what we're faced with are 23 judges who very shortly won't have jobs. And it's bad for them, but it's even worse for the citizens. So anyway, Miles, thanks for coming on today. I really hope you'll keep us keep in touch as to anything good that's going on. And please, anybody listening out there, think about contacting your senator. Even if you're not politically active, this is something that's going to affect you, your family, your friends, and your kids. And so it is an important issue. We're not just here on the soapbox for the soapbox.
And don't forget, you can also call the governor's office and say, we want these people to be renominated. We want to put pressure on both the executive and the legislative to make sure that they do their jobs.
Yeah, in fact, maybe the executive is more important. And any of you who know Governor Christie, please just ask him. In this one instance, let's stop playing politics. So thank you. We'll see you next week. And the program, It's the Law. And again, thanks, Miles. And he's doing a great job as our bar president and probably looking forward to May when he can be the ex-president. president.
Oh, immediate past.
Immediate past president.
That brings a smile to every bar president's face. Thanks, Pat. I appreciate the interview.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
When you think about what connects us as human beings, to murder a young woman just is not part of my DNA, and thankfully it's not part of most people's DNA.
Austin police are stumped on a motive in the killing of a University of Texas Austin student. Police Chief Art Acevedo says 17-year-old Mikhail Kreiner is facing a first-degree murder charge after his arrest today. Kreiner is accused of killing Haruka Weiser as she left the drama building earlier this week. Authorities are pretty confident Kreiner is the murderer, saying a trash fire he started had a backpack with some of Weiser's belongings. Kreiner also matches the description of a person of interest seen in security video after the killing. Weiser's killing is the first murder on UT's campus since the 1966 Clock Tower shooting, which left 16 people dead. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries from Trending Today USA. As I look at all of the best websites in the world, one of the ones that actually kind of brings a tear to my eye every day, and I know a lot of my female friends love it, it's ThoughtfulWomen.org. And Heather Laskin, what do you do at ThoughtfulWomen.org?
Well, Rusty, we have all kinds of stuff on our site. It's basically, you know, stuff that would be interesting to a thoughtful woman. So everything from recipes and tips and tricks, you know, in your kitchen or your house, to inspiring and uplifting stories, to news and political type articles, just kind of the whole gamut.
The uplifting stories, that's where you really kind of shine at ThoughtfulWomen.org, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what people tend to really gravitate towards.
It's stuff that you want people to feel good about, a great website to go into the morning, get that nice inspiration every day.
Yeah, exactly. And we love getting to find those stories and share them with everyone.
All right, well, Heather Laskin does a great job. Make sure you check out this incredible website, ThoughtfulWomen.org. That's ThoughtfulWomen.org.
In travel news, U.S. Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey thinks airlines are ripping off travelers big time. Scott Pringle has that story.
Menendez says his staff tried booking a bunch of different trips. One example, Newark to L.A. to San Francisco and back to Newark, and discovered it would cost about $700 less if you booked it using one-way tickets opposed to round trip.
Problem is that very few of us book our trips that way, and the airlines know it.
And Menendez says United, Delta, and American Airlines have all been doing this since mid-March.
It seems to me that the nation's big airlines are working in concert to deceive and cheat the flying public.
He's calling for a federal investigation. Scott Pringle in Newark, New Jersey.
There's a growing list of cities and states announcing official travel bans to Mississippi because of its controversial religious freedom law. The latest, New York canceling a trip to a museum. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Russ Jones, USA Radio News Director. My team and I are passionate about bringing you the best news product you can find on the radio. While we aren't biased, we are unabashedly American. With news bureaus across the nation and even Israel, we deliver news and sports 24 hours a day. If you miss the news at the top of the hour, make sure you check us out on the web at usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com.
Republicans say Cleveland is on track for the GOP National Convention in July. At a news conference, convention CEO Jeff Larson says a complex process of planning and logistics is coming together with 100 days to go until the big event. At Bear Branch Elementary School in Magnolia, Texas, walking your child to school might get you arrested. USA's Russ Jones explains.
This has happened to many parents. They have been cited. They have been threatened if they step one foot on school property, that they will be arrested and charged with who knows what.
That's Wendy Jarman, a former Bear Branch parent who lives just behind the school. She pulled her children out because she's no longer allowed to walk her children to school and enter the school grounds. The new policy says students need to either take the bus or wait in long drop-off and pick-up lines that could take as long as an hour out of their day. And then there's Frank Young, a parent who received a trespassing warning.
Mrs. Ray's policy is implying that a parent doesn't have the ability or capability to decide what is safest for their children and that the school district does. The most toxic thing that we could do for our kids is not fight for the truth and justice.
Now, Principal Holly Ray maintains the goal is a safe dismissal process, but parents say the previous policies were never unsafe. I'm Russ Jones.
This is USA Radio News, breaking news at usaradio.com.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Honorton County.
Honorton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
This is going to be quick weather because, believe it or not, we have the original sports guys. Well, no, Tommy's not here. So it's almost the original.
And John Manfreda.
Well, we
in
do.
In timely fashion. For
John
a big
Manfreda,
shoe
Bill
tonight.
Wilson. Bill Wolfson. But remember,
right.
Tommy Devlin was the first sports guy with me, but he didn't last long because, for some reason, Bill, he was a fan of a certain Philadelphia team, and when they started losing, he just couldn't
show up.
Bear to show up.
Well, you know, that's what maturity is all about.
Yeah, you will show up no matter what.
I am proud or tired.
So, I guess we have to talk basketball.
Well, I mean, congratulations to Villanova.
Unbelievable.
That was some shot.
That really was.
Well, I don't think it was a shock. I mean, they were ranked
not
number
a
one
shot,
for
a
shot.
Not shot, not
oh,
shot.
Okay. Good, because I would agree with you. It was a game-winning shot, you mean, at the end, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, there was no pressure, because if it didn't go in, they still had OT. The real pressure shot is when you're down by, let's say, two, and you got to hit a three, and they're playing you out on the perimeter because they know you have to hit a three.
Right.
That's pressure. Not to demean what was done, but, you know, I'm no big Villanova fan, so I'm going to bring up the contrary argument.
Well, I have to tell you, though, when you looked at the fact that he made that shot was unbelievable. I mean, he was, you know, it didn't look like anybody would be able to make that shot. In fact, what I was impressed with was you know, the talent on both of those teams. I mean, either one of them, North Carolina could have won. And, of course, we were down in Chapel Hill the week before, and they were all set to – they thought they were really going to take that.
They're getting ready for the parade.
They were.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, it was a nice tournament. You know, it's you know, that's one thing they have every year, because I think with college basketball, you really only have maybe a dozen premier programs in the country, really top echelon. And there's a few others. You know, Syracuse gets to a Final Four every few years, you know, considered an almost elite program. But, you know, you have the Dukes and you have the Kansases that are just purebred, and they're there all the time. But, you know, Jim Boeheim does a great job. I think it's harder to recruit at SU. But notwithstanding that, he's had some great players and very good teams and did win it a couple of years ago with Carmelo Anthony. So, you know, and then you had some other schools shine. Well, you know, Oklahoma, I got to tell you, they pop up every once in a while.
Right.
How easy you think it is to recruit to Oklahoma? I don't think it is. Come to Oklahoma. At least upstate New York, you can say, oh, you're only an hour from this or two from the city or whatever. What's in Oklahoma? So, I mean, a lot of kids aren't going to go there. So I think when you get the schools that you bring people in where it's not an easy, low-hanging fruit, I have more respect for them, which translated to the women's side is one of the major problems I have with right. The UConn women's team.
I agree.
They've got this thing going there. I mean, I have no idea what the big draw card is for Storrs, Connecticut. But there's something there. There's something going on. Why are these top women from all over the country going there?
But
they've
that's
probably
the point.
Got five of the top 10 women in the country all in one team, and they keep as one goes out. And I think what it is they say, well, you come play here, you get the pedigree, you get the coaching, the training, and then you can go to the WNBA and you can make a few bucks. And I really think that has a lot to do with it. But I have fear there may be other things at work there.
Well, I think that, you know, and what I always like to see is the Wisconsin team. Because if you look at the kids playing for Wisconsin, you know, they're not always going to get to the Final Four, but they're mostly kids from Wisconsin or perhaps Northern Illinois. And I guess it's somewhat not disturbing to me, but some of these schools, you know, they seem to recruit how often and how long and how many of these kids actually graduate from some of these schools. I mean, it just seems to me that, you know, their recruiting ground.
Well, that's my big gripe against the Kentuckys and the
right.
Dukes, where these kids are one and done. Now, I will say this, having stole the virtues of Jim Boeheim in Syracuse before, when they won the championship, Carmelo Anthony was one and done. But, I mean, these other schools routinely get that, where these guys – in fact, what was – they had the whole squad 2 years ago when Kentucky won, all five of them.
Right.
I think four of whom were freshmen, all whom went to the – or maybe sophomores, 1 or 2 years. And they went to the – that was Anthony Davis's
– right.
Maybe that was 3 years ago, where they won it, and then they did a press conference, all five of the starters, and said, we're all going to the NBA together. And they all got
right.
drafted like in the first – mostly in the first round. But so, you know, is that – isn't that just a big business? You know, not college sports, you know?
It has become that, and I don't see the same thing in football. So I think that, of course, I like football better than I like basketball.
Who was – all right, trivia question here. Who was the first one-and-done kid from a major football program? See if you can
– Oh, boy.
It's actually a fairly easy one. I'll give you a hint. It was in the 80s. Southern school.
Hmm.
I'll give you another hint. The guy who all people who hate the Dallas Cowboys hate this guy like you would not believe, because he won them 3 Super Bowls.
Well, that could be.
And he wasn't there. Okay. None other than Herschel Walker.
Oh,
plays 1 year at Georgia. Comes out, and where did he go to play? For who? Where?
Eagles.
No.
No,
he went to play for Donald Trump and the New Jersey Generals.
Yeah, the New
right.
Jersey Generals.
And when that league folded, Dallas right. owned his rights, because they were smart.
Oh.
When the NFL draft, when his class came up, because they went by classes in those days.
Right.
So 3 years later, they drafted him thinking, well, you know, if he ever – if that league folds, which it might, we'll have his rights. And they did own his rights. No, what happened was Philadelphia was right. Well, we'll get to that. That's the sad part. But just before we get off of drafting rights, that was how Reggie White came to be with the Eagles.
Exactly.
That they were smart like Dallas, and they said, you know, it's the fifth or sixth round. It's not, you know, probably not going to get a quality player. Let's draft a great player just on the chance that that league folds, okay? Same thing happened with Steve Young. He was on the L.A. Express.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
and right. San Francisco drafted his rights. Okay? A lot of the more traditional teams, like the Giants and the Jets, didn't do that. But when that league folded, you had Walker going to the Cowboys, where he actually was a good, productive back because they had crappy teams. And remember, Troy Aikman was 1-15. He was on that team. They trade him to the Minnesota Vikings for a record 11, what turned out to be 11 draft picks.
Wow.
Five of whom became all pro players and allowed Dallas to win, and Jerry Jones to win three Super Bowls in 4 years, which for that reason alone, I will never, ever, 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 ever cheer for the Minnesota stupid Vikings for making that trade. Okay?
Well, I saw Herschel Walker in a Viking uniform play against the Eagles, get a ball in the end zone, and return it 98 yards and fumble on the two.
I don't even remember. Was he that great a player?
Oh, he was an awesome player.
Very good player.
He was a rare combination of speed and power. In fact, they said he was the best combination of speed and power since Jim Brown.
But did he do that well when he was with Minnesota? That would have been.
Well, it's because Minnesota had a lousy team.
Minnesota didn't block.
And by then, he was 10 years of bumps.
Because that's why I don't remember him as being that good.
Herschel Walker came out of Georgia. They said, this is the closest thing to Jim Brown you'll ever see.
Well, remember, he played for the New York Generals during the two
seasons. New
Jersey Generals, the two seasons that they were in the league.
Of the Donald Trump.
Right.
USFL, the useful. And the
useless league.
The useful league.
Not useless ones.
And they played in the summer.
Well, their season, that's right. They actually started around March.
Right.
And you're right. I think it ended in July.
Yeah, it ended in July.
Like, really brilliant move. Like, who's watching football in July?
Yeah, well, remember something. I actually went to a Philadelphia Bell game where they played the New Jersey Generals, the New York Generals, or whatever they were. And I think, you know, it was like they had a football game for 25 of their closest friends. There was like almost nobody there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got everybody into the lower deck. My friend and I bought cheap seats.
But anyway, the reason we got onto this is we were talking about one and done.
Right.
And we went from the college basketball to how rare it is. And it was a fair point. I think you made it, Pat. It's rare. And that's kind of what taints college basketball. They want to attract all these big guys, but they know the likelihood is they're gone after 1 year. So anyway, look, congratulations to Villanova. Bill, you're correct. The city of Philadelphia needs something to cheer about. So today they had a parade. You know, what are you going to do? I guess if you're Philly, that's what you do.
Well, remember, even though they're 20 miles outside the city, they're still regarded as a city team because they do play big.
If you're in a
basketball
city that's never won anything, you know, somebody 100 miles away would say, oh, we'll adopt them. They're our team.
Well, John, I'm surprised you weren't say never rooting won anything for them. I mean, even though we could have gone back and
I formerly was in the Big East, both Syracuse and BC, and we hated Villanova because we played them all the time.
Okay. Yeah, but see, that's the difference. I would still, if there was a Big Ten team.
Oh, so because my team's in the AL East, I'm supposed to root for the Yankees when they're in the playoffs on
that
theory?
No, but for college, I mean, I have to tell you, if there had been a Big Ten team, even if it wasn't Wisconsin, I would have been rooting for them.
Huh.
You know, because you certainly want your conference, to do well, I would think. So I guess that's a difference.
Yeah,
pettier than I am.
To do well. I always figure if my team is in a conference and they don't quite get to the championship, I still want the conference championship to win it all because that just makes my team look better. Yeah, it was like Temple football this year. They lost to Houston the last game in the conference championship. And, you know, Houston really didn't go that deep into the national championships. But, it still made Temple look pretty good. It was a very satisfactory season. Meanwhile, folks, they're buzzing around. Are my Flyers dead or what? They're losing to Toronto last night.
Yeah. Real roller coaster ride for your guys.
Yeah. This is a problem when you have a really young team. And, you know, I expected that they'd have a tough time against Detroit, but I didn't think they'd lose 3-0 against them. It was pretty bad. And then being down 3-1 against the Maple Leafs, coming back 3-2, tying at 3-3 with like under a less than a minute to go. Simmons gets a tip in off a shot by Giroux. And then they take a stupid penalty in the overtime. So instead of a 3-on-3, it's a 4-on-3 in the Maple Leafs of all teams score. So now the Flyers, after being a wild card presumptive favorite for 4 weeks, struggling and clawing and scratching their way up the standings in the Metro Division, all of a sudden they're looking up at Boston, who beat Detroit last night. What was 5-1 or 6-1, John?
What's that?
They beat Boston. Detroit beats Boston last night. I'm sorry, Boston beats Detroit last
yeah.
night. 5-1.
I was thinking of you. That was a big favor for you guys.
Yeah.
That Boston would have been playing horribly lately. But that's the way hockey is, you know. It's really amazing.
So now the Flyers have the Islanders, I think, Saturday.
Yeah, they have a rough stretch, but losing to the Lamorellos didn't help them.
No, I mean the Maple Leaves, I don't know what to call them, the Toronto Marlies. I don't know.
The Toronto Maple Lose.
Maple Losers is absolutely
losers. I said lose, but losers. Yeah, losers. You can make that argument.
Well, you know, I have a – you know me. I don't know anything about hockey, but I'm going to predict – that hockey is going to get better and better and better over the next 10 years.
Why is that?
And the reason for that is I just found out that one of my grandsons, who's a senior in high school, he's going to take a gap year to play hockey to get into a better college.
Oh, sure, sure.
Well, but you don't see that in football. Kids go from high school to college. There's no.
Sometimes they'll go to a prep school for a year, but you're right. Really good talent comes right out and gets recruited.
But I'm not talking about going to a prep school. I'm talking about apparently there are these leagues.
They're junior leagues.
They're junior leagues that the kids go into the junior leagues before they go to college so they can get recruited by even a better college.
Oh, that's absolutely true. You have 16 and 17-year-olds playing in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, and it's a league that's been around since the 50s.
Well, I've always known that they did it in Canada, but I wasn't aware that the number of the leagues in the U.S.
There are a bunch of them in the U.S. too, and there's one in the Midwest.
Oh, there are a number of them in the Midwest, apparently.
I'm only aware of one. And I think the nearest team is in Erie, Pennsylvania. I think they're called the Erie Lock Monsters or something like that.
But the point is, these kids are going to have a year, maybe 2 years, of playing hockey and then going into college. They can only improve college hockey, which will then, you know, improve as we go along. Because the other thing, of course, people who are diehard football fans, I think we're all worried about so many families will not let their kids play football any longer.
Well, people are worried about injuries or worried about concussions. The NFL has hidden the concussion problem for a lot of years. There's just a Will Smith movie out about that. I think he played Junior So or something.
Yeah, but,
like
you
that.
Know, hockey is not exactly, you know, ballet.
Badminton.
These kids get hurt. I mean, they really can take some spills.
That's true. It is a collision sport, just like football. Plus, you also get to carry a weapon, a hockey stick. And getting hit in the head with a football isn't like getting hit in the head with a hockey puck. Hockey pucks are frozen, and they're going 100 miles an hour. So you're right, Pat. It is not like playing badminton and oops, you got the shuttlecock in the eye.
But I think what my point was, I think this is going to, you know, if anything, keep improving hockey because you're going to have these kids who are coming up and through the leagues and, you know, by the time they get to college, they're going to be much better players.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Than they were, you know, 10, 15 years ago or even now.
There's no doubt about it. The high school leagues we have in New Jersey are pretty competitive. You'll see some pretty good play. And as you know from going to the Prudential Center, there are literally 100 high school jerseys up on that wall. So, you know, New Jersey has become something of a hockey hotbed. And I think
absolutely.
I think a lot of people would rather see their kids playing hockey than playing football for many reasons.
I mean, there's injuries in hockey, too. But I think you're right. I think the knee injuries are so prevalent. They say it's the most common injury for young boys is the knee injury playing football. Mm-hmm. That is, there's like 100,000 knee injuries a year across the country.
Well,
I mean, that's quite a bit. And there's a lot of people. That's why there was a big push on soccer, and they thought soccer was going to take better 20 years ago because they said, oh, you'll get a lot of good kids who are good athletes who will be afraid to play or their parents won't want them to play, and they'll go into soccer. And I think to some degree that did happen. There were young athletes who said, I don't know what the heck with this. I'm going to play soccer.
But on the other hand, you know,
but if you
there's
like
not
kidding,
the NFL of soccer.
Yeah, well,
not
no,
in
that,
this
that, that, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, it's – there's a lot of dead time in soccer. The field is so big, which is why I'm surprised. I thought that the North American Soccer League was going to catch on. Remember, they had the indoor, major indoor, where they had the wall. It was like hockey with a soccer ball. You bounced it off the wall, and these scores were like 17-15. Yeah, unlike, you know, 2-1 is your average.
Right.
I think your over-under in goals in soccer is like 2.5. And that's really my big problem. You'll go 80 minutes with nothing happening. Although I have been to a couple of live games, and it is pretty cool to see them live and what they can do with the ball.
Oh
well, is absolutely amazing.
But
watching on TV is
No, I agree. But to watch, if you watch two Latin American teams play soccer, with these kids have started out from the time they were little, kicking anything that's in the street. I mean, they are amazing, and they're so quick, and it's really a fun thing to watch.
Oh, it certainly is. I had the pleasure of seeing Manchester United and Juventus up at Giant Stadium about 15 years ago.
But you got to see it in Latin America, Guatemala, Nicaragua, or something, you know, some of those two Latin American countries. I mean, that's
They fought a war over soccer in some of those countries.
You're lucky not to get killed when you go to one of those matches.
I've seen soccer matches in the United Kingdom, and it's like a brawl. In the stands.
Guys, I think we better cut this off and just take a couple commercials from our sponsors since we want to show how we are supporting them, and we do support them, and we hope that our listeners support them. We'll be back in just a minute.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, Financial Advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Pat and Heidi and Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, guys. We're back. We're on the Sports Guys, the original or the second to original Sports Guys. Bill Wolfson, John Manfreda, who's either looking up pretty girls or trying to get some sports statistics to share with
Perish
us.
Perish the thought.
Perish the thought. Well, I can tell you that the Yankees dropped the opener to the Detroit Tigers today in Michigan 4-0. The Yankees' bats were colder than Lake Michigan, and they got three hits. And Luis Severino, who I'm looking to for big things on the mound this year for the Yanks, took the loss.
But what do you have to say about Starlin Castro in his first couple of games? My God. Two hot homers, eight RBIs in the first three games.
Right. Starlin Castro
must likely. I knew when they picked him up because when I last played fantasy baseball, I had picked up Starlin Castro. He had some injuries, but he's a very good player. And they got him for nothing.
They sure did. Remember, he was not.
You got to credit Brian Cashman for that one.
Definitely. They picked him up from a team that did not want him around at all.
Yeah, right. Of course. But he's a very good player.
Cashman said, "We'll do you a favor. We'll take him off your hands." And the Cubs said, "Great." So that was that. So the Yankees, after losing the opener, I think 3-1, score a pile of runs the next 2 days against Houston because they weren't facing Neckel on the round, and now they lose to Detroit. So it's baseball, it's early, but how about them Red Sox?
Well, Sox came out and did okay in their opening game. David Price pitched well. Then they didn't do it. They lost 7-6 in the second game in Cleveland, and then were rained out yesterday. So they are home for their opening, you know, game at Fenway tonight. So, but you got some cold temperatures all over the Northeast.
Oh yes,
it is. It's supposed to snow tomorrow.
Do they have snow in Boston now? Because
my daughter Allison had texted me some pictures. Yeah, just a couple of days ago, they had snow in Boston. It's probably in the mid 40s by tonight. By the end of the game, it'll be 35 degrees there. It'll be very cold.
That's a cold baseball game.
So you've got to be careful for those arms.
Well, you know, I like sports in cold weather, but I think in 35 degrees they should be playing football.
Yeah, I do too. Of course, I think they should be playing football all the time. But
well, one can only hope, Pat. the problem is that for those of us who are Philadelphia fans, we look forward to the end of the season.
So what about any good trades? Did Philadelphia Eagles pick up anybody? And
they picked up a lot of guys recently. They've been, the NFC East is the most active division in football.
Yeah, no, I saw that. But
Patriots have picked up a couple of big players, too.
Well, I haven't been following this because I've been too absorbed with my Philadelphia Flyers and their chase for the wild card. But just like any other team from Philadelphia, I am about to be disappointed. I just have that sinking feeling. So I'm thinking about the sinking feeling always says to me, gee, I better go see how my boat is doing. So that's where I'm headed this weekend. I don't know which
day. Ooh, that's
going to
be a cold weekend on a boat.
It is. But, you know, it's up on the hard in a cradle, and I'm going to get up in there and just make a list of what I have to do tomorrow, unless it's raining and snowing so badly that nobody can get into the marina. Sunday's supposed to be better. In fact, I'm a member of a club. Then they're supposed to have their picnic tomorrow, but now it's scheduled for Sunday. So
they're having a snowball fight.
Snowball fight, exactly. So that should be interesting. Tomorrow should be a better day.
Just to give you some sense, now this is weather obviously in Flemington, but tomorrow there's a 90% chance of rain and snow.
Oh, my God.
With a high of about 39 degrees.
Really? For tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Saturday night, it's 40%, and it's blustery. Winds, chance of rain, snow, then mostly cloudy, low of about 25 degrees, and that's cold at this time of year.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Now, Sunday should be the nicer day, but not a day for a picnic. Yeah, 44 degrees. Partly sunny or mostly
sunny.
That's
the good news for the week.
But that's the good news. But not picnic weather. And then, again, Sunday night and Monday, about 40% chance of showers. So this is – I have a friend coming from Southern California. So I have a feeling I'm going to be letting her use one of my winter coats when she goes to the city.
Sounds about right. I'm kind of disappointed. It was a cold spring after such a mild winter. We only really had one heavy snow.
Yes.
And I'm disappointed.
That was very heavy. Set records. But
yeah,
it was great. One weekend, and we all stayed home and had hot chocolate and marshmallows.
Exactly.
Well, it must have been bad here last weekend. I was in Savannah, but I had to go on one of the back roads that and some of the water in some of these streams were, you know, they were way over the banks. So
it
must have gotten a lot of rain.
We had record rain last weekend.
And winds, apparently, because I know everybody, we were coming from Savannah, and everybody's flights were canceled. It took them a day to get back or more. So so we have no more spring training. Everybody started their first game.
That's right. Spring training's over. Everybody's now into the baseball season.
Yeah.
Teams
some
have played
teams
four or five
haven't
games.
Won a game yet, though, Bill.
That's true.
And the fighting Phils
got
swept by the Cincinnati Reds,
meaning
who are probably the only team in the majors that, at least on paper, were worse than the Phillies. But they swept them three games, so now I think the Phillies have that distinction.
Well, you know,
certainly the worst team in the National League.
Well, you remember something. The Phillies in their history have lost over
10,000
games.
The only major league team. In fact, that is a Trivial Pursuit question.
It is.
When we did our annual Trivial Pursuit men versus women
competition
grudge match on New Year's Day at my house. That was we as you know, if you play, you have to get six wedges in the circle in order to win.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
We had five. And so we landed. It was a sports question. And my sister-in-law said, oh, nobody will ever get this. What's the only team to ever lose 10,000 games?
It's the Fightin' Phillies.
And I said,
the Phillies.
Foolish Phillies. And with that, we got our sixth wedge and went on to win that game.
Well, you know.
Well, that's not fair if there's sports trivia and you're one of the
Well, but they also have this about, what, there's six different categories.
Well, that's
right?
Interesting.
History,
but remember, being a Philadelphia
science,
fan,
sports,
being a Philadelphia fan is character building.
Movies, and I forget what the fifth one is. But, oh, yeah, there's like different categories. Although they do sell Trivial Pursuit games that are just for one, basically one area. But I think having the mixture is much better.
Well, not everybody is going to be a sports fan, particularly if you're from Philadelphia. You might not want to admit it, right?
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that, you know, years ago my brother and I used to play a game. How are the Mets going to lose this time? And it would be anything from a wild pitch with the bases loaded while ahead two runs and three runs score. Or somebody's going to lose a ball in the outfield at night, in the lights or in the moon, under a full moon. Or someone is going to be first and third, one out, an easy double play ball to a shortstop. The shortstop throws the ball into right field. And it was
now, wait,
amazing.
That's not a real situation, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did this for months, and the Mets sank deeper and deeper and deeper into the National League East cellar. And I think that's the kind of thing we might just do with the Phillies because, you know, they are so bad right now that people are giving up season tickets. People are saying, I just don't want to put up with this frustration anymore. I don't want to pay $50 to sit in a great seat in a beautiful ballpark and admire the city skyline for 9 innings and then try to beat the traffic home. And when they've got such a poor product on the field.
Yes. Well, you know, everything goes in cycles. And it was only about 8-9 years ago that the Phillies were considered to have one of the top teams actually won a championship. I'll never forgive them for losing to the Yankees in 2009, but that was the 2009 billion-dollar Yankee team, if you remember. They added – there were three big free agents on the market, and guess what team got all three? So they got George another championship before he died. So that leaves a very bitter taste in my mouth. To begin with, but I'll never forgive the Phillies for losing that because, quite frankly, they had better pitching and they should have won that World Series, Bill.
Some people say that, but, you know, being a Yankee.
A-roids and steroids had something to do with that. A-Rod had a huge – he finally broke out of
his
bad postseason. Yeah,
took some extra steroids.
He
had a great series against the Phillies. He ate up the Phillies pitching like you would a Pat's cheesesteak. You have to say to yourself, you know, the Yankees ripped through the Minnesota Twins.
But they always did that. Minnesota's never won a playoff game against the Yankees.
That's true. But the Yankees went through the Twins
like a
buzzsaw.
They're like the St. Louis Blues against the Canadians.
But you know what happened?
Oh, come on, Bill. Comment from that. Isn't that a good analogy?
A-Rod went 0 for 16. That is a great analogy. But A-Rod went 0 for 16 against mediocre Twins pitching. I mean, Harmon Killebrew must have been rolling in his grave.
But he woke up. He woke up in the ALCS and the World Series.
That is true. I'll give you that.
Who did they play in the ALCS? Wasn't the Red Sox in 2009?
I think it was Detroit.
Tampa? No, I think they played Tampa.
You're right. They did play Tampa.
Beat Tampa. And Tampa had lost to the Phillies the year before.
But remember, Tampa took them to 6 games that year.
Yeah, but you're talking about the Phillies were the defending World Series champions and won, was it 102 or 105 games?
105 games.
Yeah, and then they proceeded to mow down the NL playoffs, and then
the Yankees were better.
They were just
I think the Yankees had gotten hot.
They found a way. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but I think they found a way to take Howard out of the game.
They did.
They didn't get hurt by Ryan Howard.
That was Ryan Howard's last good year as a player.
Right.
And the Phillies' huge mistake, nobody can forgive Ruben Amaro for this, is keeping him around. He should have traded.
But the promise
right
wasn't that when he tore the Achilles,
yeah.
And after that it became damaged goods because his salary is $25 million a year. Nobody was going to take a guy $25 million with a torn Achilles.
That's right, and you know,
so that's just bad luck.
It is, but you know something, they got old. They had problems with their middle infield after a while. Both of those guys got old.
Any championship teams, you get old quickly, you know, and.
But John, the problem was Amaro should have seen this coming, and he didn't. It's a sport, and yeah, people like to see these guys. And Philadelphia fans, once they have winners, they're very loyal. But what happens is this: they kept Chase Utley around 2 years too long.
They
never ever. Should have given Dominic Brown the chances that they did.
But I think they did try to move some of those players. I think they saw it coming, but their contracts were so heavy they couldn't do it. Because remember, in the big contracts were in the American League.
And a lot of no trade clauses.
Yeah, a lot of no trade. Yeah, they just tied their hands up. You know, which, you know, to the credit the Arizona Diamondbacks and Florida Marlins, teams like that, they win world championships 1 year, then 2 years later they're in the cellar. Why? Because they won't pay a king's ransom and give no trade clause. And you know what? I think they're smarter to do that. Okay, we won. We're going to give you, you're going to get World Series money. You're going to get extra money. We'll give you a nice 2 year contract, but we ain't giving you a 7 year, $140 million contract, because then we're stuck with you forever. And the vast majority of these contracts, I mean, how do the people in Seattle feel right now about Robbie Cano?
Oh,
don't
sure.
you know?
Oh, sure. They what they're saying to themselves is, oh yeah, he had a great career, but not with us.
Well, yeah.
And yeah, he's fun to watch when you see flashes.
Yeah,
of
like
what
the way
he
swings the ball with his wrist to second base. Is that? But that's not worth $32 million a year.
No, he's now just another
of course,
good player.
Cano's response is, well, surround me with some more talent, and that'll help. You know, one guy isn't going to win baseball.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's not like football where you need an excellent quarterback who will really make a difference as long as you have a passable offensive line and some people for him to throw to. But
again, you can't do it with one guy.
Yeah, I mean,
the point is, Cano was supposed to be the cornerstone, and they had some pitching, and they, you know, but they just, Seattle has been one of those teams that's never, I mean, you know, the funny thing about Seattle, guess where A-Rod came up?
He came out.
Guess where Ken Griffey Jr. came up?
Seattle.
Guess where, what's his name, came up? The big, tall, mean, left-handed pitcher that wound up with the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. All from Seattle.
All from Seattle. In fact, they were all there at the same time, and they still didn't win. You know why? Because they were there when the Yankees had the Big Five.
That's right. That's right.
Seattle. Talk about bad timing.
But remember, you may remember 1988 when Seattle knocked the Yankees out of the playoffs, and everybody was mad
at Homer Brenner
for trading Jay Buhner to them.
Yes, Jay Buhner, right?
And in fact, there was a Seinfeld episode about that.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, yep. very, very.
But he had that one big year for Seattle.
Jay
and
Buhner
he hit
did.
Like
that's right.
30, almost 40 homers.
He had 38 home runs. You're
yep.
right. Very
yep.
good.
Yep, thank
very
you.
Very good. Yankeeology over there. That's interesting coming from a Red Sox fan.
Well, you know, you like to study your arch enemy. So, Pat, what else is on your agenda here as we're beating these other things to death?
You know, I just, as I said,
you got the NFL draft coming up in two weeks.
That's amazing. That
is going to be one of the most important drafts in years because there's a lot of teams on the bubble that really need an impact player. It's not a great quarterback draft. So for teams who need quarterbacks and there are
a lot of them,
it makes guys like Mark Sanchez get
two-year,
$20 million deals. Can you imagine Denver? But I think they made a great deal in getting Kaepernick. I think John Elway and the coach there will work with him. And I think – I'm not saying they're going to win, but they're going to be right back in the AFC Championship game next year. I think Kaepernick's got a load of talent, and they'll do well.
Well, the only time I saw him play, believe me, he had a load of talent. And, of course,
the Packers were not
–
For his premier game.
Exactly.
For his showcase game.
Exactly. And, you know, in some ways, that may have hurt him because he was so good that meant the expectations were just escalated. I think that they all expected that every game would be like that game.
Exactly.
So if he had backed off a little bit, maybe lost by a point or two, he'd probably still be with San Francisco.
Quite possibly, yeah.
So, on the other hand, maybe he wouldn't have been there the next year. But, you know, he really did look like a very talented kid. And so, what goes wrong with some of these kids? I don't think with him it was injuries, was it?
I don't think he was injured. I think it's a variety of things. To some extent, it's the people around him. Because remember, this is a guy who could run the ball, pass the ball, and had some pretty good
smarts. The reason was because Harbaugh left. I mean, Harbaugh was a guy who could control him. And we know 2 years ago that the team was in disarray. San Francisco fell apart. They all hated each other. Then Harbaugh's gone. Last year, you know, you had an interim coach. So it was the coach. I mean that's a team that just went from being a very good team, and lo, don't you know, Pat, to really an also-ran. And he was a quarterback stuck in the middle. Some of it was on him, Bill. You're right. He probably had a few nagging injuries, whatever. But I think it was. I really, really think it was primarily the coaching. And so, I think with a change of scenery, he'll be a very good player.
Yeah. Well, the real question with the Niners is Chip Kelly going to do to them what he did to the Eagles?
He's got the 7th pick. He knows the Eagles want to draft a quarterback. He's praying that one of those two big guys falls to 7, and he's going to get a call. Oh, area code 215 calling. And Cal Chip is going to take the call. Because since he's left, they've done nothing but vilify him, get rid of all the players he brought in. I mean, believe me, I'm vindicated. 3 years of beating up on Cal Chip, but I'm the most disappointed guy. He's gone. I wanted him to stay in Philadelphia.
Well, you were having so much fun beating up on him.
I was too much fun, and they'll never win. I mean, this was the perfect combination.
Well, remember, you take a team that goes 10-6 and makes the playoffs, then they go 10-6 and don't make the playoffs, then they go 4-12 and he's gone.
But you know, that first year that they went 10-6, they had a very soft schedule. Still 10-6 or 10-6.
10-6 is still meaningful.
Okay. You are what your record says you are, as somebody once said, that we know and love. But still, it was a very, very soft schedule.
Well, but you know, it may be a soft schedule, but they still had to play in the NFC East.
Well, but that was it. You had Dallas, Washington, and the Giants all having crappy years.
And they also had to play the Packers. They also had to play Denver.
But they were in a weak division. The division.
And they played the Patriots and came close to beating them.
Yeah.
One of their 6 losses was New England.
Yeah.
So the first year they were there, they were a decent team.
The thing is, they caught up to Cal Chip very quickly.
They did.
So the question is, what is he going to do in San Francisco? Are they all going to be on shakes and, you know, monitoring their sleep thing and all these other crazy things that, you know, it's hard to sell to 25-year-old athletes who have a lot of money and don't want to answer to anybody. So we'll see. I mean, he's not a bad X's and O's coach. It'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, I think if you're a San Francisco fan, he took all the mistakes that he made in Philly and learned from those mistakes. His biggest mistake was he alienated everybody.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Completely alienated and lost the team.
Well, once you lose a locker room, you're done in the NFL because these guys do not
need. I don't think he and DeMarco Murray will be exchanging Christmas cards.
I don't
any
think
time,
so either.
So, you know,
it's a real shame because when he came there, everybody had very.
Oh, when they made the trade, I went, "Oh no, these guys are poised." You know, they brought in Bradford, who's pretty good, and then they brought in DeMarco Murray. It's like, wow, you already got McCoy. I mean, no, on paper, if you remember last year at this time after the draft, they looked like a good team. In Vegas, I think they had them like 8-1 odds to win. You know,
the problem, John, the best team. John, the problem, though, is on paper they look good. Unfortunately, they do play the game on grass.
And that's why they play the games.
They play the game on turf, John, unfortunately, and they play the game, and then you got to see. That's why I just love it when there's a season that's going to begin, and it's the day before. So you open your newspaper, and you've got all the football pundits making these predictions, which are
and your
always
team's in first place. Your team's in first place.
Wrong. Absolutely, positively wrong. The only other thing that I get a kick out of is, let's say it's the Jets, and the Jets happen to win their home opener because they're playing Cleveland.
Oh, they're pro-
they got
then
a perfect record in first
yeah,
place.
Yeah, you're right. Then,
I get a
then
kick
they,
out of
they're
that.
Promoted to being a playoff team immediately in week one.
Yeah, or it's like
talk to Rex Ryan about that last.
There you go. Or
that was unforgivable. If you're a Jets fan, how you had to endure two losses to the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryans.
Oh.
I mean, can you imagine that?
Well, remember, you're talking to somebody who does root for the New York Jets. You know the Jets cheer for most Jets fans. It goes J-E-S-T, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Absolutely.
Not bright enough to spell.
Surely you jest.
But the end result for the Jets is they're looking better this year. They got to sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, and why they're fooling around,
wow,
I do not
know. That's just a money
thing.
What are the Packers doing, Pat, in terms of the draft?
You know, I haven't been following
offensive
it.
Line, I think, right?
I think that's what they need.
Oh, absolutely, the O-line.
And they need
a receiver.
They need a receiver.
The defense
is
pretty good.
Hopefully, Jordy will be back, but they need a receiver. But they